The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment, using proven evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox, inpatient and outpatient options. You'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region. A proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Handler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi everybody, and welcome to Clean and Sober Radio. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what do you have today in recovery news?
So we have some disturbing news. Federal authorities have accused a New Jersey woman of concealing approximately 15,000 rainbow-colored fentanyl pills in a Lego box as part of a drug trafficking scheme in what the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration said in a news release is the largest seizure of drug in New York City history.
You know, that is so scary. You know, we're coming, you know, Halloween is at the end of this month, and people better be very careful about what they let their kids eat.
Yeah, you have to check the candy. Definitely do that this year. I mean, it reminds me of, you used to hear that back in the 80s, worrying about
razor blade.
Razor blade. I was always scared of that as a kid.
Were you?
Yes.
Yeah. I bet you were. Anyway, how about this yesterday? President Joseph Biden announced that he will take executive action to pardon thousands of people convicted of marijuana possession under federal law. These are federal crimes, not state, and this is for low-level marijuana charges. And I think he pardoned 6,500 citizens who have been convictions between 1992 and 2021. And now we're hoping, or he's hoping, or somebody's hoping, that the states now will follow suit for state charges, because he can't touch a state charge, even though he's president of the United States.
He can't. And it's so nice to see, because you think about these people with these marijuana charges that are unable to work in a lot of jobs because of felonies. And to wake up and have these charges taken away gives them a new chance.
Absolutely. I want to make a public service announcement. Mental health is health. The Thomas R. Klein School of Law of Duquesne University is having a mental health day, which includes addiction, this Monday, October 10th, from noon to 1 p.m. And it's also it's sponsored by Lawyers Concern for Lawyers, but this is not just for lawyers. This is for the general welfare of the public. It is out of Pennsylvania, but this goes across the country. And the way you can watch this is to register at duq.edu/law-mental-health. And after you registered, you'll receive a link to watch the show. Very important. And we thank Laurie Besden, Esquire, who's the executive director of Lawyers Concerned for Lawyers of Pennsylvania. This should be a very good event.
Yeah, bring on the awareness of this. And, you know, it reminds me, the suicide hotline, 988, right?
Yeah, 988.
988.
988.
If somebody's struggling.
Absolutely. All right, let's do this. We're going to hit our first break. When we come back, Pennsylvania Magisterial District Judge Andrea Duffy is our guest, and she has some incredible stories of what it's like and what happens in her courtroom. And we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert, caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campus in Devon, PA, and Mays Landing, New Jersey, they tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY. Recovery today.
Hey, this is Bob Forrest, and this is Clean and Sober Radio. I work with Dr. Drew. I'm sober, I'm crazy, and I love this show.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Also heard on these great stations across the United States, KDWN Las Vegas, Nevada, WHFS Tampa, Florida, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, and soon we'll be on several other stations, which is great. Okay. Judge Duffy, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Yes, it's been a while.
It has been, and I was just trying to think of how many times I've actually been, well, in the studio at least five times, I would think. And then there's been more call-ins and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you are so special to us for a lot of reasons. First of all, you're a great lady, but the way you handle cases in your courtroom, I think is pretty unique, and you're the forefront of, I think, understanding that we cannot incarcerate out of this epidemic. And I know that, you know, when we first met, you had told me that you try very hard, if it's, you know, not dealers, I'm talking about people with addictions, mm-hmm. if you can get them into treatment, that's the ultimate goal of you as a judge. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, we first met, and I was trying to, we should have talked about this before because I'm trying to pinpoint the year, but it was very early on in DARA's life. And DARA, for those who may not know about it, it stands for Drug Addiction Resource Alliance. And that's a group of facility providers, treatment providers, all sorts of people in the local community who have come together to try to make this route of recovery more manageable. But we met early on, and you were a great inspiration to me. You made me feel like I was really on the right track and I wasn't crazy, even though I know a lot of people thought that, this was just delving into too much for a local judge. And you kept me sane and thinking that I was on the right track to doing the right thing.
And you are the founder of DARA, and you are certainly on the right track. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've inspired hopefully many other judges to understand that we are in an epidemic, and it's treatment, treatment, treatment. Right?
It absolutely is. People aren't dabbling in drugs. There's no – most people at this point – are actually addicted. Yeah. And, you know, when I started this in 2016, mm-hmm. I realized that I'm right on a very major roadway, 309. And
that's outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Right, it is in the suburbs. But my particular court, which covers two townships, is actually the highest caseload in the county. And a lot of that comes from the fact that we're on a drug corridor. Mm. We have to face reality. It's a lovely suburb, but it is a drug corridor.
Yeah. Is this from Philly out to
like Allentown, okay. you would take it and so forth is what 309 is all about. So we saw an inordinate amount of drug cases. And, you know, for most people, I think, regardless of state, you can proceed after charges by summons, meaning you get mailed a copy of your preliminary hearing date, or you're arrested and you're taken in front of a judge for an arraignment for bail to be set. So many people were not showing up if they were mailed their date. And we did a two-week check of the no-show files, and we found out that just in 2 weeks, two people were dead. And this was back in 2016 when we were realizing that heroin was becoming a monumental obstacle for us. So that's how we started it, because we realized we need to get them in front of me to set bail for an arraignment, and that we can help them right then.
And you're as a district judge, you're the front line of this. Mm-hmm. You're the first contact with a defendant. So, you know, I don't know what your parameters are, but you can either make it or break it for somebody. You know, if you send, you know, I know you said you give them a choice. You want to go to prison or you want to go to treatment.
Right.
And that could give the inspiration to somebody to say, you know what, I don't want to go to prison. Let me go to treatment, even though maybe they don't care. And then something could click once they're in there.
Hopefully that's what we're looking for, is that spark. Now, there's so many people are in front of me who are begging for treatment. And word's gotten out. If you go in front of this judge, you know, you're going to have some luck. You know, this is the day that you maybe will be able to lick this problem. But it's all up to them. And, you know, I have to follow the rules of law as far as setting bail. But when cash bail is justified, instead of actually making them post it, I'd much rather get them a bed in a facility.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, to our viewers and listeners, if you want to give a call in and talk to Judge Duffy, our number is 1-888-728-9941. That is 1-888-728-9941. And this is your opportunity to speak with a sitting judge, which is most people don't get the opportunity to do that unless they're in front of them. Right?
I suppose that's true. I hope people realize that if they do need help, they can contact me anyway.
Right.
And Dara does have a website and an email address, DaraSavesLives@gmail.com and DaraSavesLives@.com. So if you need to contact me, I'm also available through Facebook on the Dara Facebook page.
Let me ask you, why are you so interested in helping the recovery community? Did something happen in your life?
No, I mean, honestly, I can't say that I dealt with addiction in any way, shape, or form growing up. I did have a grandfather who I really didn't know, who was an alcoholic, and I know that it really changed the lives of my aunts and uncles and my father as well. But other than that, I think the most compelling thing for me was when I was on the bench for a few years. Like I said, I guess it was really 2015 that we were seeing this upshot of cases for heroin, especially before even fentanyl. But these people were crying in court, and they were accompanied by their parents and their siblings and their spouses, and they were begging me to do something. Like, what can you do? And I would try to get on the phone with facilities, and I had no clue how difficult it was going to be. And it ended up just me being, you know, cursing under my breath and saying, this is ridiculous. This is too much for any one person to deal with, especially when they're dealing with addiction. So that's why I decided with the two lieutenants in my townships and local attorney Greg Gifford to start this program and try to get people on board so that I could call right from the bench and get this person into treatment.
Right.
And that's it makes the difference sometimes, as you said, between life and death.
And
you can't ignore that shocking reality.
Yeah. If you're just joining us now, we're talking to Magisterial District Judge Andrea Duffy, a Pennsylvania sitting judge. And, you know, we have a lot of people that are watching us. And let me tell you, I'm going to put some names out, but we have to tell you, these people that are watching us, they're watching us on Facebook, and they have gone to Clean and Sober Radio, our page, like great people like Michael Shoemaker, Johnny Guthridge, Jackie Molica, Judge Christopher Maddox, friend of the show, Laura Story, Robin Davis, Laurie Besden, who is the director of Lawyers Concerned for Lawyers.
And an amazing human being.
Judge Maddox says, coming back from a week of yearly updates, I feel smarter already.
Mm-hmm.
Judge, you were smart before you went. Rob McGregor, Kathleen Wolf Collin. We'll get back to the other people. So if you're wondering, who are these people that I'm mentioning? They're people that went to Facebook, to our page, Clean and Sober Radio. And it's fun to watch us do the show, too.
Yeah,
right, Mark?
And if you can, share the show. We want to get it out there. That would be great. Quick question for you, Judge. Now, if somebody gets arrested, are they able to request you as their judge? Because that's what I would have done. You?
No, you can't.
If only.
Now, I certainly, and because I can't do arraignments for you know, every person who gets arrested with a drug charge. I still want to make sure that Dara's name is out there, that if you do need help, mm-hmm. I have two amazing right-hand women, Hope Stein and Lynn Truskowski, and they're the ones who I reach out to get people into treatment very quickly. We always promise 1 to 3 business days if there's no extenuating circumstances, which is truly unheard of, and it's taken us years and you know, as far as the normal cases, great cooperation from the prison and a lot of people in between, including the officers in my two departments, who are very proactive in trying to stop addiction as much as they can in their jurisdiction.
Judge, how do you make a determination? Where is that fine line where you say to yourself, this person might benefit from a treatment facility, or you say, you know what, bye-bye, you're going away for a while?
First of all, I want to make sure it's clear. The prongs of bail are based on danger to yourself or others and also risk of flight. And by their very nature, addicts, people suffering with substance abuse disorder, are going to be flight risks. A lot of them do not have fixed addresses. They don't have any stability in their lives. I wouldn't even know, you know, where you'd send notices for them, legal notices.
Right.
So that's a huge issue. But also, they, of course, they're a danger to themselves or others. They're going to do things not just to themselves in the nature of using, but also they're going to commit crimes sometimes that they absolutely would otherwise not have even considered but for their addiction. So we know that they're going to meet the prongs of bail, of cash bail. It's just whether this is the right time for them to go into treatment. And for the most part, like I said, no one dabbles in heroin, really. There might be other drugs that, you know, they're casually using, but that could build into something a heck of a lot more. So, you know, every case has to be taken individually, but you have to want the treatment too. But in cases where, you know, is it better to be sitting in jail waiting for your case to be heard by common pleas, or is it better to hopefully, you know, strike that match and get something going at a facility?
And then I'm assuming if somebody chooses treatment and they leave prematurely, you can then issue a warrant, right?
Absolutely.
And then the second time is not as pleasant.
I can't imagine after that many judges would do anything to risk them leaving again.
Right.
It has happened to me. I'm not going to lie. We have a really great success rate. But we also, you know, have our challenges and we have our negative situations as well. I mean, it does happen.
Yeah.
Relapse happens.
Do you take it home with you? That some cases?
That's a great question. And, you know, the short and simple answer is, yeah, I absolutely do. Especially when there's a death involved. I feel that pain. I have a hard time with it. And I would be lying if I said anything else, because it just does feel personal when you come that close to them and asking them, and they're reaching out to you and begging, and you get to know the family sometimes who are begging also in court, like I said. And it is a really tough reality to face. Luckily, there haven't been many. We have been very excited to get those emails from people. I get a lot of people stop into court, send me you know, messages in one way, shape, or form, calls. And that means the world to me.
Sure.
I mean, it's just an amazing experience when someone pops their head into court because they want to tell me that they just had a baby, or they have a full-time job, or they just graduated from college, and it's because they got free of their, you know, their monster.
How was the community of district just judges received your involvement in helping addicts and alcoholics to get help, not just take your pen and go 30 days, 60 days. Has this carried over to other judges?
Well, I mean, right now, Montgomery County has pretrial services division now with bail reform. So they have taken over some of that. But in years past, I did get referrals from other judges, and that made me very happy to be able to accommodate people outside of my court. But it's not the usual thing to do. I'm not, you know, it does take a lot of work and effort.
So if somebody comes in front of you for a drug charge, is this a charge from the district attorney's office?
Well, yes.
Or is it just the police department?
Well, the police department files the complaint. But, of course, it is the district attorney who's supervising, you know, all charges.
So if the district attorney's office says what do they do? Recommend to you what should happen? How does that work?
Well, remember, as a district judge, which is golden opportunity because I'm in the trenches, I am not necessarily the sentencing judge. That can come up at common pleas court. We now have, through pretrial services, every arraignment. So every time I set bail, there's at least a public defender, if not a private attorney present, as well as the district attorney.
You have the power, though, to get rid of charges, though, don't you?
Yes, I can do that at the preliminary hearing stage, too. Yeah.
You can do that, right? Mm-hmm. Is there ever opposition from the district attorney's office or the police?
I can't recall a time when there was any kind of vehement frustration or opposition with the DA's office. Usually when charges are not valid, all parties usually concede to that.
If you're just joining us now, we're talking to Pennsylvania Judge Andrea Duffy, who is just an amazing, amazing friend of our community, the recovery community. Not just the recovery community. Judge Duffy cares about people who are in crisis with addictions to drugs or alcohol. So you're cool.
This has been the best experience. I was a DA for a long time in Bucks County. And when I became a judge, I didn't know that I was ever going to become, involved with this recovery process. It just happened. And it happened because I needed to do something, seeing this kind of emotion and desperation. So it was an easy thing to decide to do. And I'm really grateful that so many people have helped me along the way to make it an easier thing to keep on doing.
Right. If you're watching or listening to this show right now and you feel like you need help, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. You know, Mark and I know there are people watching and listening who might be on the fence. Do I really have a problem? You know, we had a show last week about, how do you know if you have a problem or you're just a recreational user? Yeah. Well, there are signs.
Absolutely.
And also I think the individual, if they want to be honest with themselves, understands, hey, man, I've gone too far.
Yeah, and one of the things that we always look for as a clinician is loss of control. You know, the old saying is, how do you know an addict or alcoholic when they celebrate that they moderated, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that should have just come naturally. And also problems in your life because of it. You know, if you're seeing a lot of problems in your life and it's directly associated to it, it's a problem.
Yeah. Recently, I had someone in for their fourth DUI in, I think it was less than 10 years. And he said, but I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with alcohol whatsoever. You have to start getting, first of all, that's nothing you should probably say to a judge.
I can imagine, especially
when you're represented to blurt that out, because, most people are walking around not with one DUI, let alone four. Yeah.
And you go upstate, you can go upstate for that, right?
There are times when this can become a felony, yes. I mean,
you definitely need your license.
Absolutely. And the mandatory sentencing, yeah. I mean, so, but what I'm saying is that, there are a lot of people who are walking out there who are even represented and still just don't get that they really need to lick this problem, that it is one. And that's not normal to have four under your belt.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Pennsylvania Judge Andrea Duffy. And when we come back, what's a question you want to ask her that everybody listening and watching wants to know more?
I want to know what she's seen in terms of marijuana impairment and driving, and if there's an increase at this point with legalization and decriminalization, but if we're seeing more impairment.
Great. And when we come back, we'll explore that with the judge. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Don't let addiction rob you of one more day. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center offers comprehensive addiction treatment for adults. Depending on your unique needs, your care at Pocono Mountain may include detox, residential treatment, and an array of outpatient options. We also offer transitional living support and transportation for outpatient participants. Pocono Mountain is in network with most major insurance plans. Start your recovery journey at Pocono Mountain Recovery Center. To learn more, call 877-596-0223.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Okay, Judge, what's your response to Mark's question?
Well, what I have seen for sure is an increased mixture of alcohol and marijuana. That is definite. I mean, yes, marijuana in general, but that mixture, the combination of the two is certainly significant right now. And I think that's the problem. And we were talking a little bit about this before the show. As Colorado, for instance, I was reading some articles that clearly they've seen an increase in DUI under the influence of marijuana as soon as that became legalized in the state. And you are going to see that. And there are going to be people out there who just don't get it. Yes, I have a medical marijuana card. Yes, I'm driving. You can't do both at the same time. You can't. And you can do your usage of marijuana legally, but you do it at home and you don't drive.
Yeah, I think so many people think because they have a card,
yet suddenly you can legally drive
under drive.
The influence of it. I don't know why people perceive that, but you know, they're always showing their medical marijuana card in court, and that's fine for certain offenses, but not all, obviously.
So sometimes they break out their card and they're like, I got my get out of jail card.
That's exactly
here.
What they
and
look at
like,
it as. Uh-huh.
No, you're still getting arrested.
And of course, you know, they're also smoking it, which is still not legal. You know, we all have to understand what our Pennsylvania law is about. You can't have it in the bud flower form, and you can't smoke it. So they need to make sure they are knowledgeable before they go and get that, that card.
Yeah, I don't think the education is there.
No.
No, and in Pennsylvania, I believe it's a zero-tolerance state still, isn't
it,
in terms of—
We still are, yes. So if you have metabolites, you know, you could have smoked a week ago, it's still in your system.
Yeah.
And especially when you combine it with alcohol, you know, it's going to even be harder to
defend. The technology is not there yet to determine.
There's lots to talk about it.
Yeah, but when you're pulled over, it's by blood. I mean, that's really the only way. I guess if they smell it, does that stuff smell? Medical marijuana?
Yeah.
It smells like marijuana?
Absolutely. I would think so.
Mm-hmm. So is that probable cause for it to be arrested?
That's a very complicated question. It can be part of probable cause, just the mere smell of marijuana, but it's only part of probable cause, and that could go on for a really long conversation. especially in car stops now, their search and seizure laws are much stricter than they used to be.
In what kind of way?
Well, it used to be that basically if you smelled marijuana, you could search the car, but there's not so much anymore. Yeah.
Oh,
I would have thought that back in my day, as soon as they smelled any pot, they were pulling you out of the car. So that's not the case anymore.
You see, that's why I did Quaaludes, because there was no smell more. Okay?
He was a smart drug user.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Under the law.
Oh, I was smarter until I wasn't.
Opening the Quaalude clinic was—
Right.
That's
how you escape the odorous usage.
Exactly. All right, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Pennsylvania Judge Andrea Duffy. Give us a call, 1-888-728-9941. Don't be a chicken. This is your opportunity to ask a sitting judge questions that you might not ever have the opportunity to do so. So 1-888-728-9941. And if you just want to listen and watch us do the show live, go to Facebook, go to our Clean and Sober Radio page, like these fine people. By the way, Laurie Besen says, thank you so much, Judge, for everything you do. Let me see who else. John Logue, hi Gary, hi Mark. Brenda, Rhonda Hope. Carlos Ricardo, Hope Stein, Harvey Sklaroff.
Hope, hope, hope.
Ah, yeah. You're wondering, Sean Gerlot, if you're wondering who these are people that went to Facebook from all over the country and some around the world. We've gotten people all over the place who are watching the show.
And share it. Please share it.
And share it. So, Judge, let's talk about the organization that you founded, DARA, which is really doing some beautiful work in the area.
We are very proud. While we don't keep exact figures, we estimate that we've gotten about 800 people into treatment so far, at least. And that has become, you know, part and parcel of my job to me. It has made my job a vocation, and it's so worthwhile. Like I said, we have our ups and downs, but because of all of these wonderful people that are at my disposal, so to speak,
yeah,
we can rip through a lot of those traditional obstacles like insurance, transportation, bed availability, the need for an assessment before, you know, you are introduced to inpatient. We've conquered all of those. It took a while, and it was not a smooth ride by any stretch. There were some tough times, but we've conquered it now. The only issue now is I don't get to do as many arraignments as far as getting people into treatment because of the new system in Montgomery County. So
what is that? What is the new
system? That's that pretrial services.
Okay.
So I don't get to do as much at the arraignment stage as much as I could do now. I'm trying to do more on the preliminary hearing stage.
Right. But you set up a network with DARA that, you know, all these resources had to come to the census to cooperate with you and figure, hey, this judge knows what she's saying. You know, the rehabs, as you said, the insurance, law enforcement. I'm sure you have a great relationship with, you know, local law enforcement.
Needed to be on board. I mean, they're a necessary component of this whole process. The equation will not be complete without their cooperation. But what's also great is that as far as what I'm doing now, I also do forums, events. And I think raising awareness and trying to end stigma is so huge in this community and every community. So I urge everyone who is listening, who's not just in this local area, but to try to start raising awareness through these kind of forums. Because when you have a speaker, and our next one on October 20th is Tony Luke. For those who, he is a national name.
Tony Luke is out of Philadelphia. He is the king of, I want to say, cheese steaks. When I introduced him in Harrisburg, I said cheese cakes. And he is, besides his vocation, he's a real shaker and mover in the community. He had lost a son from an overdose, and he has an organization called, what is it, Brown and White? White and Brown.
Yes.
And it's an organization to raise awareness, just what you're saying, on the signs, the pitfalls, and everything else about addiction. So, yeah, he's your guy.
And the worst thing is, and our attendance, this is our 16th public forum. Two were virtual over COVID. But I didn't even know if I was going to survive the first one, and that was in 2016. So we've come a long way. And, you know, we started out with, you know, maybe 30 people in the audience. Our last one at the YMCA in Lansdale turned out to be a few hundred.
Wow.
So we're getting some feedback.
Grassroots.
Yes, and that's what we have to start, because in the beginning, I think a lot of people were afraid to attend these forums. They were afraid that people would say, oh, she's attending. Maybe she has a son, or maybe it's her daughter. But that's not the case at all. I encourage not just people who have, you know, family members who are struggling, but also civic leaders, teachers, pastors, all these people who have to deal with the public. Don't you want to know when someone approaches you and says, I trust you, I want your help? Don't you want to know what to do?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the era of responsibility that we're in. I know as a judge that I had to know. I couldn't stand it not knowing what to tell these people in my court, and they're going to come to you. Maybe it's a Boy Scout. Maybe it's in your you know, congregation. Maybe it's somebody who just you know, is working out with you, and you realize there's some signs, and they're reaching out to you and confiding in you. Well, it's great to be able to say, oh, I feel so badly for you. But why don't I have substantive information to say, I understand, I'm not judging you, I want to help you. And that's what we need. The seats that we need to have filled there are not just for struggling people. They're for people who want to be there for those who will approach them in the future.
Yeah, and you're in such a position to do that. And, you know, 20 years from now, 10, 30, someone might say, you know what, I was in bad shape and I went in front of this judge, I forget her name, but we all know it's Judge Duffy, and she changed my life. And that's pretty heavy. You know that?
It is incredible. I mean, I never thought in my career I would have that kind of, not just in my opinion, duty, but that kind of excitement and thrill to be able to have that position where you can do that. I'm never going to be a doctor. I'm never going to be a firefighter. So I'm not saving anybody's life like that. But well, it's really huge to be able to help someone through a really hard time.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, Judge. Say you're sitting up higher than everybody else in your courtroom. You have a black robe on. You're intimidating as hell to everybody in the room.
We can both
Mark and I can both relate to that, okay? What is the feeling of having such power but saving people's lives? I mean, you know, we're not talking about traffic stuff in front of you.
Of course not.
What is that feeling that you have been gifted this opportunity to help so many people, grassroots, right from the beginning? You change their lives. That's a heavy burden, you know. And when Mark asked you to take it home, you wouldn't be human if you didn't take it home.
Yeah, it's true, and that's why I love being a district judge, because I am on the forefront. I'm there with them right after their arrest. They're raw. They're vulnerable. They're begging for help. This is real. Sometimes you have to wait months to get in front of a common pleas court judge. That may be too late for a lot of people. So you know that you strike when the iron's hot, and it almost always is at your level. So I have been given an awesome, awesome ability to do this. And thanks to all the people in DARA, I am doing it with them.
Right. Incredible.
Have you had people come back into the courtroom, or just come back and say, Judge Duffy, you know, you changed my life? Do you get that?
I've had my tears in my courtroom, because a lot of people have brought their children in to say, you know what, I was finally healthy enough, and I have a healthy baby because I got treatment in time. And it leaves you speechless. It honestly does. I don't know the words to say. And I thank God all the time that I've been given this position, that I can do that, because I really don't have to look for anybody to help. They just come right in front of me. You know, there's no searching.
And you know, you're not only saving that person and their immediate family and community. How about all the generations that would come because you changed that person's life?
Well, they changed their lives. They have to make that commitment themselves. So this is,
I know.
You can send them anywhere you want, and if they are not committed to change, they won't change. But you're right. I mean, I have researched enough to know the generational nature of addiction. So we know that nipping it in the bud will send a huge pattern, either in the negative or the positive.
Yeah. Mark, we should have known Judge Duffy back in the day, right?
Oh, you guys always say that. Right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, Gary, we should have.
Well, am I allowed to start talking about anything regarding what we're doing in October?
Go ahead.
Because Mr. Modesty over here isn't talking about it, but when you recently had celebrated your anniversary, it was your 40th anniversary of recovery.
Yes.
I didn't know what to give you. I wanted to give you something. I was thrilled to be invited to the little get-together. So I came up with what I thought was the most appropriate gift, so to speak, for someone who has inspired me and been there for me when I was down and when I was frustrated and when I didn't think this made a lot of sense. So I'm very thrilled to announce that on October 20th, we will present the first annual Gary Hendler Commitment to Recovery Award to Gary Hendler. And it will be an annual event. And I love you, and I am thrilled that I can do this for you. And I'm so grateful for everything you've done, not just for me, but for an entire community.
Well, I'm you know, totally humbled and blown away. And when you gave me that card, you know, of course, first I opened to see if there's any money in it. But let me tell you something. That was the most incredible gift I could have gotten.
I'm glad. And it's deserved.
Thank you.
Because, you know, he came all the way out to Little Montgomeryville all those years ago just to introduce himself and to try to find out what I was doing and to urge me to keep on that path, even though it was difficult, and to tell me that what I was doing meant something.
Yeah.
And I needed those kind of people in my life, because at that time, you know, it was very unique what I was doing.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of naysayers didn't think it was necessarily appropriate to get that immersed in this recovery world. I've never had a doubt, but I needed people like Gary to always support me and to remind me that, no, this, it may be innovative, but it's the right thing to do.
We hit it off immediately.
Absolutely.
Mark, because when I met Judge Duffy, we found out that we are from the same community. And that just sealed it. And we've been friends. How many years has it been now?
I'm sure. I think it was like 15 or 16 when you came out. Maybe. I'm not even sure. But
I'm not either.
Dara was definitely in its infancy.
Yeah, yeah.
So and it was still, you know, growing. And I was still trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, who I needed. But everybody needs someone to support them when you're starting out with something brand new. And unique.
So when is this event again? Because I'm gonna try to make it.
You better, or I'm giving it to somebody else.
All right, I'll be
okay?
there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be there.
So anyway, it's October 20th at the YMCA in Lansdale, which is on 608 East Main Street in Lansdale. The doors will open at 6 p.m. And you know, it's really good to come early because we have some amazing resource tables, people
Great.
That we really trust, that work with Dara, that we know are good. And worth considering if you are in the market for treatment. At 7 o'clock, we start off with our presentation. And, of course, the award will come at the end to Gary. So I encourage everyone listening, if Gary's touched your life just like he touched mine, please attend, because not only will I think you get a whole lot out of the presentation, but Gary will love having you there, and I know he'll appreciate the attendance. But I do encourage, since we are beyond just the Philadelphia market,
sure.
other people in the community to start trying to have these kind of forums, because you need to encourage those who feel the stigma to not feel better necessarily about their plight, but to feel accepted and embraced by their own community. And that's what happens when everyone comes to these kind of events, civic leaders, community leaders, to show their support and to gain knowledge. So these kind of forums are essential everywhere. And I know they've made a difference in my community. And we give out free Narcan and training. And I will thank the Center for Addiction and Recovery Education at my alma mater, St. Joseph's University here in Philadelphia, and their strategic partners at Elevist and PCCD for their Narcan donation and their trainer. It's amazing how many letters we have gotten from people who have received the free Narcan at our events, and they actually saved lives.
Wow. Is this a free event, by the way?
It is completely free. We have free refreshments, like I said, the free naloxone and training. And I think you will not be disappointed, and you'll feel like you've gained a lot of insight into this entire world.
This is another incredible opportunity for our community. I'm not talking about the addiction. I'm talking about the whole community to get some free information, because let me tell you, you never know when it's going to hit a loved one. We always talk about this, Judge, that mm-hmm. on our refrigerators, there should be a number, probably this a substance abuse and mental hotline number, because once somebody is sort of admitting it or you're seeing signs, you need to call somebody. You can't be scrambling around for a number, because
that's
even
the last thing
even,
you want.
Even doctors don't know where to send people. And
Absolutely.
That's pretty frustrating. And you've mentioned this before. There's only a short amount of time when you can get somebody into treatment before they change their mind.
Oh, it's so true. You have a very limited time frame. And that's why it's worked so well for me to be doing it fresh off the arrest.
She's something else.
She is. And I'll tell you, just fresh off the arrest is such a bottom for people. I mean, I'm just sitting here as a counselor thinking about, like, that is when the iron's hot.
That's right, Mark.
I mean.
That's right. I can relate to that.
I can, too.
So can you.
Yes.
But you know what's cool? We can both relate to that. But because we got treatment, we're sitting here with a judge, right? What judge would have been sitting with you? I'm not talking about in the courtroom. I'm talking socially.
I didn't know any judges. Did you? I mean,
no.
No.
We're just people too.
And
you know?
We've
I mean,
been hanging out for years.
Yes. And, you know, I think it's so important that judges have enough information so they really are able to communicate with the defendants in their courtroom.
Yeah.
Being high and mighty is going to do them nothing.
Absolutely. Judge, can you stay with us for the next quarter of an hour? Yes. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. The Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost. And encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery. Because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery Kevin Heyer, the Higher Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HireCalling.org. That's H-Y-E-R Calling.org. And find out how we can help you.
Hey, this is Darryl Strawberry, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And we have the opportunity today to talk to Judge Andrea Duffy. And I have some more questions. This is a great interview, and you're just so special in so many different ways. I just want to recognize a couple more people. Laura Story, hello, Mark and Gary. Happy Sober Friday. Great to see and hear you guys this week. John Logue.
Dawn Searock.
Who do you have there?
Dawn Searock.
Dawn Searock.
She's actually an author.
Oh, yes. Yes, she is. Edward Pettit Clare. Sean Gerlat, I think I did. Mark Willig is watching.
Our body.
Carol, Linda Carroll, Bob Moeller, Robert Brandis, C. Ruger. Let's see. Bob Moeller, C. Ruger.
Joel Cooper.
Joel Cooper.
Yes.
Dr. Joel Cooper. So many people are saying here, Judge, you are amazing. Let's see.
Joel has his 5-year anniversary of listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
Oh.
He's got the mark there.
Let's send him a car.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, yeah. All right, real quick, I just want to mention this thing one more time about the event. Monday, Mental Health is Health. That encompasses drug addiction. This is at the Thomas Klein School of Law at Duquesne University. Register at DUQ. That's like for Duquesne, I guess. DUQ.edu/law mental health. And you can register and watch this virtual event. And thank you, Laurie Besden, for turning us on to that. Okay. Is there anything we haven't asked you that you would like us to talk about?
Well, I just want to mention to everyone that you don't have to be arrested to get the help of DARA. Please, please don't wait for that event, okay? So DARASavesLives@gmail.com is our email address.
Say it again.
DARASavesLives@gmail.com.
Okay, and that's D-A-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And our website, we're constantly working on that, but we have a DARASavesLive.com. And importantly, you can message me on Facebook, and I can try to accommodate you and get you in the right direction. So, yes, Facebook, Andrea Duffy, as well as Drug Addiction Resource Alliance, DARA.
You know, you're such an open book with this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, I can't stand when people say, even to us or to me, you know, you shouldn't mention AA, you shouldn't mention NA. Let me tell you something. The whole idea, in my opinion, is to save people's lives and get them sober. The rest of it, I know I'm going to get flack. It really doesn't matter to me. It's about helping people get out of an addiction any way you can.
Right. And knowledge is everything.
Yeah.
You know, I felt, even though I had been a prosecutor, and I thought I knew something about, you know, drugs and addiction and Certainly not out of high school, I didn't, but I didn't even know what drugs look like. I didn't know what they did, nothing. So I had a long way to go between college and law school and then, of course, in the DA's office. But I knew nothing even then because I didn't understand the nature of addiction. I didn't understand anything about the recovery world. And that was not a good position to be in as a judge. And we really all need to, if we're working with the public in any way, shape, or form, we need to understand addiction. We need to know the signs. We need to know what to do when they come to us. Because, you know, if they're brave enough to confide in you, then you have to offer them something back. And that's the best advice that you can give them, and compassion as well.
And, you know, we need to understand addiction, but you also need to understand that others don't understand addiction.
Right. Absolutely. You know, we all have to break that stigma of the moral failing. The family that just doesn't work. It's a dysfunctional family. That's the only way you have anyone suffering from substance abuse. You know, some kind of breakdown, you know, in the ethics of your neighborhood, whatever it may be. We've got to stop that because we know that, you know, the best of neighborhoods, the best of communities are dealing with this. Hollywood, millionaires. You know, I think I told you the story of the woman who came in a fur coat, who was charged with possession with intent to deliver because she had so much heroin. And she explained to us that it was because she bought in bulk. She had the money to do it. She was wealthy enough that she did not want to go down to, you know, to Kensington.
Yeah.
So she bought in bulk. I mean, this is happening. The crazy kind of stuff that we see is happening. And you got to have Narcan. I think every business should be carrying Narcan on their premises. So I'm a big advocate.
Yeah, and for people who don't know what Narcan is, it is a nasal injection, you know, just like a spray, that will stop an overdose for fentanyl. Anything else, Mark, it'll stop?
No, just opioids.
Just all opioids.
It'll knock the opioids off the receptor.
Yeah, and you know, don't say, you know, I'll never need that because nobody in my family is going to have a problem. You know what? You can get the stuff. Anybody can get it. I think you can get it free.
I'm trying to find it. I have it in my purse right
now. I have
now.
One here.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it's a free standing order. A standing order. And hopefully it can be free. If you do have insurance, they'll ask for that. But I carry it in my court all the time. And I really think, you know, we know the high incidence of overdoses in public bathrooms. For those people who do not want to consume at home, we need to start making sure that these businesses are aware. And they can save a life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and have it in your medicine cabinet. If you have kids and you think they're all doing the right thing and everything like that, still have it because of fentanyl. I mean, you know, you're hearing stories of just being mixed with other things. They take a pill; it's got fentanyl in it. So parents, really, just get it for your house.
Absolutely.
First use could be your last, and that's what we have to always remember.
Absolutely. Harvey Sklaroff, thank you for watching. Mike Burke, thanks for watching. We had a lot of people watching today, you know that?
Yeah, and Dawn Searock says, Narcan saves lives and saved mine many years ago.
See, there you go, right? Yeah.
Yes. And sometimes it takes three doses. So the one you have in your medicine cabinet could be the one that keeps them alive while EMS arrives. And that's what we had in a couple of our emails that families taking home Narcan from the events have said. It kept them going. The ambulance crew said if we didn't have that, they would have been too late.
And if you're with somebody getting high and they overdose, do not run away. You will not be charged unless you delivered it to them.
Right.
You need to call 911. And the best thing, as you said, Judge, is have Narcan. Well, I don't know who's using is going to have Narcan. That's the problem, right?
Well, I mean, you do hear about dealers supplying Narcan along with their goods.
Really?
I know when I went down to Kensington, I was seeing both needles and Narcan lying on the ground. So, I mean, when you think about it from a disgusting but, you know, mercenary perspective, you don't want to lose your customers. But if you are aware that someone is using in your house, I think you absolutely have a moral responsibility to have Narcan in your home.
Right. Judge, thank you so very much for coming in again. We really appreciate your information, your compassion. It means a lot to everybody, and we really do We really do appreciate it. Check out Dara, darasaveslives.com.
And the email is darasaveslives@gmail.com. And let's not forget that we are honoring Gary Hendler on October 20th at 7 p.m. at the North Penn or Lansdale YMCA. 7 o'clock, be there, be square. He is an amazing human being, and we are very thrilled to bring to light all that he has done, not just for Dara, but the whole community.
Well, thank you very much. I can't believe a judge is saying that about me.
I think it's great.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, if remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
And thank you all for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Judge, thank you so much.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.